Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Hey, man, this football season is really going fast. It seemed like it just started. We're already in week four, high school football.
Yeah, you're right.
It's halfway over. It's nine games in regular season.
I had a conversation with Muskegon's offensive coordinator, Brent.
Oh, okay.
Mr. White, and we were talking. He said, I'm telling you now, he say the first three games I won in January from last year. I was like, what you mean? He's like, well, you know, small workouts in January, you know, lifting weights, going a little 7-on-7s, getting tours of college campuses, just putting in a little light work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Coach is not really doing
keeping that mindset.
But he said, the kid's going. The kid's going at it, right? So we might peep in at him, you know.
Right.
When it's our time. But he say we got leaders on the team that know the system.
Right.
So he said in January, they went in the first three games in January.
Okay. It makes sense, don't it?
Right. And he said, I'm telling you this. He said, by the time you get to week four, he said, we in conference play. And, you know, he respect everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Respect everybody.
Coaches.
Like, yeah, good coaches smash them. He like, nah, man, I got something to work on. So he was talking, and he said, now we're playing Kenilworth Hills. Now we have to win the rest of the season as if we're in a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we prepare – our players for the next level after the first three games.
Okay.
He say, because you see a lot of teams, they could be in a lull, right?
Right. Absolutely.
And they could be like, oh, we 3-0, we bad.
We take time off, right. We're going to relax.
We ain't got nobody, or we this, we beat these people. He said, that's prime real estate to lose a game.
Yeah. Trap games.
And then we got into the contrast of last year's team. And I remember going to several games, hearing on the radio. And I said, I noticed that team was like kind of like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
But they just was like, well, we playing what's calling them.
They'll get
we
into
can
a
turn
funk.
It on, right?
Yeah.
So he brought up the example. He said, when you play the elite teams like a king, when you can match us athlete for athlete last year, you guys approach it like it was in a in-conference game, play, and they're like, oh, let's turn it on. No, they could turn it on too, just like you.
Right,
you're supposed
right.
to prepare when you was 3-0 how to beat them
you're right.
in the final game. I was like, man, we got to get back to work. Because that was a great philosophy, and that was in the building. And I was like, wow, that's a coach's theory, and that's good ingredients, and that's a good recipe. That's why they play on Turkey Day.
Yeah.
Muskegon. So
that's it.
So I see the preparation is locked in, Tony, and it's just the next thing is, do the kids buy in to the intuition of the coach?
I'd have to say yes.
That's
an example I have to give you is like you take – kids like Billy Roberts, who has been a four-year player, right?
He know.
So he's been to the Silverdome 4 years. You bring in a guy like Miles Walton, all right? He was a sophomore last year, freshman, excuse me. Okay, he's going to be one of those guys 2-3 years from now that's going to be able to translate all this experience to the other players. And when you do that, you know, you got two linemen right now that should be playing in JV football. But they're going to have 3 years as varsity players. These are the kids that pick up this kind of mentality, and it translates to the other kids.
That's right.
So it's really a unique phenomenon that they have in place when you bring up younger players to experience these runs in the playoffs.
Now, I know he also mentioned these two players, and they like, I think they brothers sometimes, but I know they're not related, the Junior Sims boy and the Oaks boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said having them – to cover those wide receivers, it's like having seniors and they only juniors.
Only juniors, man.
And the way they read the defenses and how they able to communicate without saying nothing to each other about it with a hand signal or whatever, that's the relationship that kids have beyond what the coach can do.
Absolutely.
The chemistry, that's that key word. That's
chemistry,
that,
man.
That chemistry takes everything.
You can't coach chemistry.
You can't.
Okay.
If I look at you, be like, he said it was in practice one day. I'm just going to spill all the beer. I just like asking the coaches and talking to them. And he said he was in practice one day, and they was doing something, and they had switched something. And Junius was like, to Tyrese, he was like,
okay, they developed.
Like, we got it.
Okay.
And he said, Coach, how you know? He said, we got this sign we do that we know we good. And he right. covered me, and I got him.
Okay, that's it, man.
he said, that ain't even in our playbook or nothing. It's just, that's their personality.
Yeah, that chemistry, man. They bonding, they relating to each other. So that's awesome, man.
That was a shut down corners then.
Oh, man.
And they put they laid wood on kids.
They played really, really good last week. Yeah. And they were lucky that, you know, the other team, in my opinion, they were a good team.
Yes, sir.
But the score, in my opinion, wasn't indicative of how the game played out. Okay, you get the lucky bounce in the end zone. You have a great tackle in the open field, ball jarred loose, and it pops in the air. One of their kids catches it and continue down the field. So our DBs, you know, you're going to get breakdowns. You're going to have – it's going to happen on every level. But overall, I have to give our kids an A just because they've done such a wonderful job in these first three games as defensive backs.
Yes, they have. It's the defense. I think the defense is better than last year, Tony.
I do, too. I do, too.
Well, younger players.
Yeah.
Like you got anchors like Billy Roberts. You got Elliott, you know. You got the anchors there. So they are spreading through the other kids like, look, it's going to be better than what we were last year.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they was great.
I think so.
But it's just like, we're going to be better. So we're going to hold you to a high expectation of yourself.
And to the efforts of the coaches and the players, they cracked the USA top 25.
Yes, sir.
Which is a great accomplishment. And the coaches won't let it go to their head, trust me. It will keep them grounded, okay? That won't happen.
And that's territory Muskegon used to.
Oh, yeah.
They always get – I've seen highs 14, highs 12, so – it happens for the big Reds.
Yep.
It's nothing. That's like, okay, thanks for the pat on the back. Thank you for the recognition. But we already know where we at.
We got to go back to work. Talk to you later.
Yep.
Okay? Yeah, so, it's going to be fun, man, these next three games. And, of course, everybody's looking for the Shores game now, right? That's the game that's on the schedule. That's circled. Week 8.
Yeah, they 3-0 too, right?
3-0.
Yeah, so that's
That's
good stuff.
They got a major test this week. They got Rockford.
Okay. That's a major test.
That's a major test. I don't think they've had a test up to this point. So it's going to be interesting to see how that game turns out.
No, I thought the East Kentwood game was going to be a little bit challenging for them, too, because of the formidable athletes that they have, the speed that they have. But, hey, like I say, Mona Shores is like a – got some descendants, big Reds over there, too.
Oh, come on,
some
man.
Some great coaches.
Let's go. The coaches come from – all them coaches are big Reds.
Are big, either players or former coaches.
Yes, sir.
So they know.
Okay. The formula.
Yep.
All right.
They got some colors that we don't respect, but we respect the people that's in them.
We have to. You know,
we respect the people that's in them, but we don't respect
and
the colors
good.
Of the jerseys.
All right.
You know.
We want that kind of a rivalry for this community.
That's
so,
right.
So I'm looking forward to it. Unfortunately, the schedule is not really favorable from a competition standpoint. That's just the way it is. But our kids are going to continue to play at a high level. And trust me, they know what date that game is on the schedule.
Because Friday's game, this will be aired already, but Friday's game against Kenwood Hills at home, right?
It's at home.
Yeah. So that's a good game to get out.
And then we got another game at home with Fruitport.
Yeah, and the weather's going to be good.
Beautiful weather.
So it's good to come hang out in the community and see that green grass and the lights.
Yeah, them hot dogs cooking over in the grill.
Yeah.
Come on, buy you a hot dog, enjoy the game. The weather's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Good time. Unfortunately, my Spartans, man, they took a fall.
It happened last year, right? Didn't the same thing happen?
We had more yards, more passing yards, more first downs, more time of possession, less penalties. I'm like, what could we do better? We run it down the field.
He didn't win the scoreboard.
Yep. We run it up and down the field, but he's stopping us in the red zone. Because Herm Edwards,
man.
He was the defense coordinator in the NFL. He know.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, this college kids. Let me do this. Run this.
Okay.
Do that.
Just keep it close.
Yep.
Just keep That's it close. All he wanted to do. Keep it close, man.
If I can keep it close, I can win.
Right.
Every time. That's what he does. He keeps it close.
But I think that was a wake-up call for him, man. They know that offense has to play better.
Yes, sir.
You know, you can't complain about the defense giving up 10 points. All right? Can't complain about that. We know the offense got to score more points. They have to. They got to find a way to do it.
It's a running back that a week before previously, I can't remember his name, he played basketball in high school with Cassius Winston, the running back they had 197 yards that game against Western. He didn't play football in high school until D'Antonio came to one of the games, a basketball game.
Oh, really?
And he was like, who is that? Because he went to like four basketball games, and they played Clarkson or somebody. And it's the year that UAD Jesuit went 28-0.
Oh, yeah.
So he was guarding the best player on every team. If they was a power forward, if they was a wing, and he like 6'1", or he's small.
Okay, for basketball terms, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, Antonio was like, man, I like his ability. Like, look at him. Like, he'll be a great football player.
That's good coaching, man.
So then he said, came down and getting recruited, and he was getting some small D1s for basketball. And he was like, Antonio said, you play football, go on, play football when you just play. He scored 14 touchdowns, rushed for like 1,400 yards in the season.
Okay.
And Dan Antonio offered him a scholarship, and some big other big D1s did too. He said, I'm going to Dan Antonio. Because I didn't play football at first.
Right. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be getting the offers. Yep. So then, I'm going to go to the guy that gave me the first opportunity.
So he got up there, he redshirted him, and this is his first year. And like, he's going to be the starting running back.
Okay.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know where your opportunities come from.
That's it.
Radio community, you never know.
Keep the doors open. Yep. That's the name of that game, man.
Yep. The NFL. Our Lions got a victory.
Lions got one handed to them.
I was watching that game. I was like, we had the ball, right? And we turned it over on downs. So I was like, oh, man. So you know, I'm looking at San Diego. I'm like, they can march in the red zone.
Man, they moving the ball down the field.
They was moving it. So I was like, we got in the red zone. I said, we got to do something. And we got to pick.
Right.
I said, woo.
Yeah, so they saved got a pick. They've been picking on him all day. So yeah, finally got him. So they're in Philly this week.
Yeah.
Philly is, you know, they got some quarterback issues. So they're kind of ripe for the picking. Yeah. So Detroit go in there and play well, they should come out with a win.
But like, you know how our Lions are. We don't beat the teams we're supposed to. We'll beat the teams that nobody don't think we can.
Right.
So.
Yep. Yep, so we're going to see, man.
Yeah.
They 1-1.
It's going to be amazing.
They're undefeated, right?
Yes, sir.
1-0-1.
We undefeated. The Lions are undefeated going into week three.
Week three. So, yep, Lions fans should be happy.
That's right. We should be excited.
Undefeated.
Man, that's beautiful.
So, yep.
So we entered our financial portion of the show. It's a lot of things going on, like with the president.
A lot of dynamics, man. You got issues now in the Middle East with the bombing of the Saudi Arabian oil fields. Yeah, which immediately spiked oil prices around
surprise
the world.
Surprise attack, too. That was a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was nothing provoked. So, there was no real confrontation that we know of. But this basically cut their production potential in half. So therefore that spikes oil prices around the world, which says now dollars that would be used for other things now has to be spent for oil. So that there's a little bit of an imbalance when it comes to spending. The cost to get goods and services to locations is going to increase because the price of gas increases, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's passed on to the consumers.
I was at Sam's Club yesterday. I was going somewhere like GNC or somewhere, and I rode through Sherman, yes. And I'm riding through, going to go to the gas station. I'm like, why Sam's Club's gas station so packed? It was 2:20.
Sure. Yeah, they had, for whatever reason, they wait 24 hours before they do an increase on gas.
Okay, so everybody else was 2:90.
Right, it already jumped.
Mm-hmm. So at Sam's Club was so long, I was looking like, okay, there's stuff going on with the drones striking. These oil fields.
Yeah. Refineries. Yeah.
So that's
going to be an impact.
That's that ripple effect.
Oh, yeah. That's the ripple effect. Okay. We still got the issues with the tariffs.
Yes, sir.
With the Chinese. Then we got our own internal problems within the country with a GM strike.
Just spent a lot of money on, like, getting ready to tweak our whole auto industry with the getting ready of the cars like the Cadillac, the Impala. And trying to go towards smaller vehicles, and now we're about to lay off all these people?
Well, GM did. See, you know, the real issue with this strike is not so much as it is with the dollars and the benefits.
I seen an article today talked about the health care for women.
Okay, that's a part of it.
Okay, so what is it?
GM has made a fundamental decision to say that we need to start gearing up for the future when it comes to automobile productions. And battery-operated cars are the way to go. So there's a whole different dynamic in how these cars are going to be produced. Okay? You don't need combustible engines anymore, right? So you're going to need a whole different kind of a sourcing in order to develop these vehicles. Part of the problem is for every job at GM, there are 7 other jobs outside of GM that are dependent on it.
That's the suppliers. Right? Yeah, like Fish,
yeah.
Shape.
Yeah, those kind of people, as well as vendors in the community of a GM plant, okay? Gas stations, restaurants, convenience stores, all these people are reliant on those individuals spending their dollars in the communities in which they live. So now strike pay is $250 a week, okay? That's probably 2-3 hours worth of actual work on average when they're actually in the plant. So that's going to be a huge hit. And then it ripples through the economy, right? Because if they're not spending those dollars like they normally do, these people that own businesses, their profits are going to dip. They have to change how they spend money, all right? You couple that with the potential implications of tariffs on goods that's coming into the country, and then you put the icing on with the increase in the gas price, and it's really a formula for disaster for a lot of communities if this thing draws out. Okay, the larger cities can absorb it, but when you get into smaller communities that are really closely tied to these GM plants, they won't survive a six-month strike. Those people are going to go out of business. The suppliers are going to lay off many people. So the fundamental problem here is it's not all about the language. It's about what GM has prepared for the future and how it's going to affect the workers of today.
I can tell you right now, all it takes is 2 months if you're in a situation where you're just living off a job check.
Paycheck to paycheck? 2 months, you wiped out.
You wiped out totally. So
$250 a month, man, is not, you know, for a UAW worker.
No, it's not. Because they're getting them 60 hours, 80 hours, double time. I'm going to go back and do a double shift. I'm working 12 hours a day. Yeah. Or I'm doing 16.
Yeah, they make $2,000, $3,000 a week.
Yeah, they make real good money.
So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. And you got politics in this also.
Yes, sir.
Okay, because of the automakers and the emissions, the carbon emissions, okay, they're saying that we need to reduce the carbon emissions. President's saying, no, we're okay, we don't need to do that. But the automobile companies saying, no, this is the right thing to do. So there's some issues there from a political standpoint as to how they move forward when it comes to developing the products of the future. And they're saying, we're going to stick to our guns and go to this reduced carbon kind of a footprint. And president saying, no, we don't need to do that. Matter of fact, there's a class action lawsuit that he has against the automakers in the state of California because the state of California has the highest standards for carbon emissions. And the automobile makers saying that we're going to go by what they say in California and not the federal government standard. So he's saying that's like an antitrust move on their part, which is going to go nowhere.
Those are his buddies, though. When you talk about the energy movement, those are his buddies.
Well, you got the environmentalists, okay, the coal producers, and then and those that build the combustible engines, which cause a lot of carbon emissions, have changed their tune. You know, we got out of the Green Accord that was signed in France when Obama was president. We got out of that.
Yeah, we got out of
that. You know, we said we're going to fire.
The reserved land, the reservations of certain land, we got out of that.
Got out of that, man. So there's just a lot of stuff, man, that's going on. And right now, 6 months from now, we'll see what the impact is on this economy.
Hey, do you think he's still being, he done rock the boat? He done.
Well, you know, it depends on the American public. You know, voter apathy has been the problem for years where they say, well, my vote don't count. But if his base, they all go out and vote in droves, his base,
they do.
Then he's going to get reelected. But we can't have voter apathy. We got to go and vote and just say, hey, whoever the Democrats have, we got to live with them.
Wow.
Okay? But we can't do 4 more years of this. It's either something else or 4 more years of what you have.
Yeah, because
you got to make that decision.
Because a lot of people, they just look at him like he, you know, what he is. Like he was talking about when he was when the hurricane was going, he got a marker out. It's coming to Alabama.
The Sharpie is what's going into Alabama.
He drew that marker.
Right. He stuck to his guns, too, saying, yeah, it could have potentially went to Alabama.
Man. He turned to a meteorologist.
Right. The meteorologists, they were upset, man.
They was upset at him.
You challenging what we do as a professional basis, man.
That's
come
right.
on.
So, yeah, that was weird. But
yep.
It's a crazy way. He has his own plan.
Yeah.
He's not super rich for nothing.
Right.
I'll tell you that. So he got something up his sleeve.
And he has people that will follow him.
To the end.
To the end, man. So, like I say, next 6 months, well, next year, November, right?
Yes, sir.
2020, we got to vote, man. That simple.
Time is here, man.
Yeah.
Well, what I got today is I was like, we're still on simplifying your finances. And I said, well, manage and pay down your debt.
This is a good time to do it.
Yes, a good time to do it. As a matter of fact, I was on the phone with someone. We share the same CPA in the city of Detroit. I'm not mentioning the lady's name. But she's doing pretty well for herself financially. And I was asking, I said, how'd you get there? She's like, I got trade lines of credit for my business, but I got personal lines of credit that I use to establish these trade lines.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, man, so I seen the debt, and I was like, so that's why I'm still on managing and paying down your debt. And she had some credit cards that had some large debt amounts. So I was just giving her some examples. Like, well, I don't want to get rid of this credit card. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I was like, well, you got to take some off your plate.
Yeah.
Say, your business is doing good. You're thriving. And right now in the city of Detroit, they are giving people buildings and giving them money with the buildings.
Okay.
Like giving them like $75,000 to run a functioning business and office.
Yeah, seed money.
Yeah. Get them going. Give it to them.
Yeah.
That's, again, that goes back to Dan Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just amazing how the shift of West Michigan and the East Side is totally different.
Yes, it is. You just got people over there that are extremely wealthy.
And they're ready to pour back where they live there.
And they're ready to redevelop, revitalize, regenerate that area, man.
Train work staff?
Yeah, because everything, you know, is cheap. I mean, the land was cheap because everybody moved out. At vacant buildings,
yeah,
worth nothing. The city's saying, okay, if you come in, we'll give you some tax breaks just to generate revenue. Some tax base is better than none, all right? Create some jobs for people that will pay taxes to the city. So, you know, it became a win-win for the city of Detroit to have these guys investing.
So it's just amazing. But I was just talking with her, and she was talking about her struggle financially with her credit cards, and I was just telling her about consolidating and getting rid of certain debts and just moving on and and one of the things I mentioned is, it's even in this article, says, consider a personal loan structured predictable monthly repayment plan to help you stick to the budget and get out of debt by a specific date. I was telling her, I said, you can get a personal loan. She's like, well, I say, well, how many cars you got? She's like, I got all of them. I had like 20 of them. I was just like, oh, no, you're not 20. But then she got all this assets. She got all these assets. She got good income, too.
Okay.
For their business. And I was like, look at it like this. I say, you can keep on paying somebody a monthly payment, or you can say, I can move these three credit cards here, and I can keep two. And I can do something. I can either take the one with the lowest interest rate, consolidate them, or I can just get rid of these two and then consolidate those two. So it took some time, but I had to convince her, because I'm like, going forward, I said, I don't know what the next 6 months look like. That's what I told
her. All right. No, those income streams have to remain consistent in order for her to maintain the pay levels that she are currently at.
On those credit cards. So
right.
I say, well, you can take action now before the economy make you take action.
Right. When those streams start to dip or draw up, those loans stay the same. That payback stays the same.
So when it comes to consolidating for student loans or credit cards, whatever, make that move because I know a lot of times like a lot of people have like a private money. So then they think like, okay, I got this private money, I'm gonna consolidate it, or it might was federal and they take it to private money, and then you miss all the benefits of consolidating when you got like federal money.
Because, oh yeah.
Federal money works differently. You can do a lot of different things. You can qualify for forgiveness, you can write off a debt, but when you playing with private money, it's lawsuit stuff there.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame, man.
It's a whole different ballgame. So
yes,
like,
it is.
When you got an opportunity to pay your debt down or get rid of some debt immediately, I would. That's what I
so, you know,
advice.
And you have a good advice because, excuse me, what worked in the past may not be really correct for the future.
No,
and you really need to rethink that whole dynamic of how you manage that income stream.
No, it's just that's just one way of paying off your debt. So then the next one was it was consolidating the actual credit card. So it was like you could stick with one issuer, and I was looking at some of the ones that I had in this article, like Chase Freedom Unlimited, I have that. So it's like you can spend so many, and you get a point and a half for every dollar you spend, and then you got the Chase Sapphire, or you just get one great credit card. I always just say like about three of them, because you got three. That's good. If you got to travel, you got to go somewhere, you got it. You got to hold a hotel room if you're in there for business. Whatever the case may be, you got it.
And you get those rewards, right, for the cash back, Travel miles, those kind of things are the benefit of having those credit cards. When you pay them off.
When you pay them off.
30 days.
Yeah, because that interest, it comes. Like, I'm looking at some examples that we have here. Like, they got American Express that got 0% for 15 months, but then they go up to 15 or 26%. So it's like,
that's a lot of juice,
man. And that's what I was telling the lady. I say, you're doing good right now. But I said, when an interest hit on that zero credit card,
yeah,
that 26% gonna be every day on that balance. Well, I said, and I'm not gonna tell her, I'm not gonna reiterate the balance, but I was just like, so I did the numbers. She was like, whoa. I said, so that payment you're doing right now is not cracking a dent. Let's just get rid of it. I said, what about my credit? I said, your credit gonna be good because you got all these assets, you got the business, you got all this. I said, there's such thing as having too much credit. It is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's a such thing because you credit heavy.
Yeah.
Because you could be a risk to somebody.
Yeah, and one blip, you know, like you say, you missed the opportunity of maintaining that 0% interest. And now when you start missing those monthly payments, you're going to be making, you know, double payments, and your payments are only going to cover the interest. It's not even going toward the principal because the balances are so high.
You're exactly right. So it's just like, so we share the same financial pro. We share the same account, right?
Okay.
So a planner can take a load off your shoulders by taking care of certain tasks, managing your portfolio, for instance, and guiding you to smart financial strategies, allowing you to skip doing some of the research yourself. Like, I got an appointment with, I always meet with my financial planner every year of the school year.
Okay.
I meet with him, and I talk to my accountant, and I just figure out, like, what's my new plan based on my income right now? Like, I got a couple checks. What's next?
Right.
This paid off. This car paid off. I'm doing this now with my insurance. What do I do now? You know, what's the new position for my money?
Right.
Because the position changed.
Your financial situation has changed.
Yep. And from year to year, that goes year to year from almost everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a severed relationship. It could be change of a job, change of location. But you still want to save for retirement.
Yep.
You still want to have your insurances. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a promotion. Yep. Right? Change of jobs. Higher increase. Maybe a layoff. Okay? It can go the opposite way as well. But either way, it still has to be managed.
And it's just looking at it like, you can't do things. I'm reading this book right now. It's called Luck. Luck is, it doesn't come by happenstance. Chance.
No.
It doesn't come by that. You know, like, you just don't get lucky by happenstance, by bad things happening to you. You got to be able to look at the situation and say, I did plan for this, but this storm came. But
yep.
I got this set up for this storm. And prepare yourself when you simplify your finances. When a storm comes, you're able to weather the storm where you won't just be a total chaos or catastrophe.
Right. Right. It actually just wipes you out and you're back to zero.
A wipeout is a thing that I don't want
none
of our listeners to have because it's a terrible situation.
Yeah, and those things are going to happen over a lifetime, right?
Yeah, you're going to have
You have
one.
To manage and plan and get through it because hopefully it won't be there forever. You'll get through it, get back on your feet, and, you know, start going towards your goals for financial success.
And it just makes you think, like, it's just things cycle. Like, I remember the mortgage crisis back in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it lasted around 2008, 2009.
Yep. Two-year cycle.
Yeah, look where we at right now.
Booming economy, robust economy, jobs everywhere. You know, employers can't get enough skilled employees to come to work.
To this day.
Yeah.
I was talking to an employer today, and he said, we have about 5,000 jobs that we can't fill right now.
That's incredible, man.
And I was like, and he said, I'm in West Michigan. And he said, I'm coming from Detroit. He said, we're training the kids in the high school and workforces. So in my position, I'm trying to get these business partners in, but the resources on the other side of the state.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out how to connect to the resources.
Yeah.
While we're in this city, because a downturn is coming. It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
But why not prepare your family, prepare yourself, prepare your kids, so then when the downturn comes, you're financially stable.
Right.
And you know what that looked like. You didn't go out and buy a new car.
Heavy in debt.
Yeah. You didn't refinance something and try to pull it out and go on a trip with it or pass a credit card out.
Yep. That's it. And then the key to that is, you hopefully that downturn is a short period of time, all right? 6 months, year at best. So if you can weather that, be financially prepared, it's going to come back around. It's inevitable.
You're right. It's just funny. I know we usually talk about scripture at the end of the show, but I got this action Bible at home, Tony, and I'm in the book of Judges in this action Bible, and I get to this character called Gideon, right? Mm-hmm. And Gideon was he was shameful of his ability. I would say people knew that he was a warrior, but he didn't know he was.
Okay.
So when the Israelites came to the time where they supposed to stand up against these soldiers or these other armies still in their land, a prophet came to him and said, God told you, right? To make a long story short, he made God go through a series of trials. If you real God, do this to this, make this rain, make this be wet on this side, make this be dry. He went through three events, and he finally did what God said. So then he goes out with like 100,000 men, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is why we talk about simplifying your finances. So you simplify the people that are around you too. Once you do
okay.
that, it grows. So he's getting ready to go into this battle, and the guys are with him, they like, man, they got more people than us. They got more camels than there is sand on the ground.
Okay.
This camel we about to fight, right? So he said, God spoke to him. He said, get rid of them people that said that.
Oh, right? Okay.
So now he
the
down.
Naysayers.
Yeah, so the naysayers. So now he down to, I think, like 30,000 from 100,000, 30,000. I'm like, whoa, right? So uh-huh. Now you got to still go in. So then they go on this, they still go, they get closer to this camp, and it's a brook they can drink water out of. So then everybody drank, taking a break, and he said, everybody that got on their knees, tell them they can't beat that either. It got down to 300 people.
Okay.
So it got simplified to 300 people.
Right.
Well, he had 100,000, right?
Right.
So it gets simplified down to 300 people, right?
Okay.
Yep. So he get down to 300. So he goes, and he said, all right, now we ready. I'm like, man, so I'm reading the story, right?
Lean and mean, right?
Yeah. We got 300. But he said, I got 300 people that's going to follow this plan that I got. This plan to make sure we retain our resources. And that's what we're talking about on the show today.
Absolutely.
So he goes in with this strategy. So y'all on the north side, you on the east and the west. And what happens is they go in and they shock the whole camp because there's not that many of them. They go in with the light and they take over the whole camp and all the resources.
Okay.
And I'm like, look at Gideon.
It's that story, man. That's a great story.
It went from 100,000 to 300 people being with you. And we're talking about simplifying your finances because I think a financial downturn is coming.
Yep.
So if you're prepared mentally and ready, your strategy will be better than the calamity that's coming.
Okay.
So when a
that's
storm
good,
comes,
man.
You might end up starting a business out of it.
That's it. That's good.
That's
good.
That's what it is.
That's good, Coach.
It was fine ready this morning. All right. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat. All right. It's
you coming in?
Pastor Murray.